Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Now, Manchester United is set to cut up to 200 more staff. This is Jim Ratcliffe's latest cost-cutting move at the cash-strapped club. It's part of a bid to counteract Old Trafford's £300 million loss over the past 3 years. Let's get more on this now with Miguel Delaney, who's chief football writer at the London Independent. Hello, Miguel.
Hello.
So we have 200 more staff set to go. That'll be a huge blow to the team at Man United.
Well, I mean, first of all, the thing about redundancies like this is, for all the arguments about streamlining financially and, you know, the need of the club and the losses, figures like that are basically a kind of, they're such a small fraction of the actual expenditure a football club makes. I mean, people could easily point to the huge amount spent on player wage. I mean, look at someone like Anthony, who they've just sent on loan to Real Betis, a player who was on 25,000 a week at Ajax, and just 2 years ago, United signed him for over 80 million. And the reports are that his wage went up to 100, needlessly went up to 140,000, potentially up to 200,000 with bonuses, which is such incredible waste and leaves an even sour taste on redundancies like this that don't really compare to that, given they're generally kind of, I suppose, the jobs are kind of jobs are more regular wages. And there's not just that as well. There's also kind of the atmosphere it creates. A lot of people talk now about just how gloomy it is around United at the moment, how it come, and also, I suppose, how moves like this go against what the club is, the sort of, ultimately, I mean, for all the business direction of modern football, these are still social institutions. They're supposed to represent something more than just being a business. They play football to represent an area with all that entails. And I mean, stories like this, really, whatever they say about Manchester United, they also say a little bit about where modern football is going.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think you're right. It is so much part of the fabric of the community that if you start telling people who are, you know, lifelong Manchester supporters, never mind staff, probably intergenerational supporters, that they're losing their jobs, that is going to generate bad feeling in Manchester, right?
Yeah, and it has been pointed out as well, like kind of this news came out on the day that they buried and that two staff members helped organise the funeral for Dennis Law, one of the great legends of the club, who evoked kind of this era and a greater romanticism. And I know the automatic response to this, and I hear this a lot in football, even from people within Manchester United, about how, you know, realistic decisions have to be made. This is just the modern world, and this is the economy we're in. But again, it's just about the scale here. And you compare these figures and say the amount that United spent, even actually the decision to not sack Ten Hag in the summer, when everyone expected him to go, when Manchester United were interviewing other candidates for his very job. So he was essentially being interviewed for his own job. They still stuck with him, despite trying to make a big changes in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
But the extra cost in getting rid of him then 4 months later, well, that was money that could have been saved, that could have gone to jobs. I mean, this is the level we're looking at now. And again, yeah, it just says something about where the club is right now.
Yeah, because people, you know, just looking at this from the outside might have thought that when Jim Ratcliffe came in, that he was coming in with a bag of money, was a fan of the club, that this wasn't going to be the direction that he was going to take, which seems very hard line focus on the bottom line.
I suppose anyone that maybe looked at how Ratcliffe has operated in other companies, even other sporting companies, where the approach has been to trim down financially, I suppose that maybe a more kind of realistic expectation would have been that he does something exactly like this, even though I think the extent of it has surprised people. I suppose the good feeling when Ratcliffe came in was more so that the idea that the football operations of the club could finally change, I suppose, after a decade of inefficiency and waste and the club basically underperforming. And they might well do that. They're making a lot of changes there as well. There have been some very, very, very costly changes there, especially because it wasn't just Ten Hag they eventually got rid of. It was also Dan Ashworth, the sporting director, who they made. There was such a fuss about getting him out of Newcastle earlier in the year. He had to go on gardening leave. Then they bring him in and he doesn't even stay a year. He's gone so quickly. Now, again, maybe this will all be, or at least the football side will be justified in the long run, but it doesn't take away the real effect on normal people's lives.
Yeah, it's just, I'm just looking at some of the cuts that he has made. So cutting the funding for the Manchester United Foundation, which works with local communities and underprivileged people, that was $1 million last year. Then there is the donation that they make to the former players' organisation. I mean, these are things that, in the context of what you told us about what they're paying for managers and players, yeah, these seem really mean and nasty things to cut.
Well, basically, it's two player contracts, really, that cover this.
Yeah.
And this is where it's so... And I know I'm repeating the point here, but it's why it's so galling to me. This is why all the arguments about modern business practices and how, you know, have to face harsh realities, that's where they just fall down. Because then you're looking at the excess that is used on the squad. And this even as they're trying to cut down on the squad. But it still just feels so lopsided. And then when I was speaking to people at other clubs, they would say, and this is some very well-run clubs, among the best-run clubs in England, they would say, moves like this are baffling because even if there were an argument about financial savings in that regard, they almost cost you more in the long run because exactly you're talking about the kind of the bad feeling that's created, the effect on the community, this is the cynical perspective on it, but it's still part of it, the public relations aspect, that you do lose out in many other ways and they can actually influence financial income eventually in some ways as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is still one of the biggest sporting brands in the world, Manchester United. Does it point to a wider issue with football across the board and the funding model?
I mean, football, like I've just written a book, I suppose, on this whole issue and football's entire economy and the kind of the influence of states and billionaires and private equity. Football's economy is very strange at the moment. But the thing about United is as well, And this, I suppose, points to how badly the club has been run for so long. Given that, despite the losses we're talking about, their revenues are still incredible. They're part of a group of 10 to 14 clubs, and United are generally always in the top five, six, with income or revenue that is far above anyone else. The clubs that usually always win. So it really shouldn't be possible for United to be as bad as they've been. In some ways, that's almost a feat of alchemy. Mm-hmm. But I suppose it does point to how kind of almost hysterical football's wage rate has become, which is one of the major issues in the sport, especially when like there's a 90% correlation between what you spend on wages and what you spend and where you finish in the league. But United, I suppose, fall into the 10% because what they've spent on wages doesn't match league position.
Well, Miguel, your book is called States of Play, and that addresses some of the issues that we've just heard you talk about there. Thank you very much for being with us, Miguel Delaney, whose other job is chief football writer at the London Independent on that decision by Man United to get rid of 200 more staff.